encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
You know, John was one of the disciples that God granted so much access to himself in the place of intimacy. In fact, the Bible spoke so much about the intimacy that existed between John and Christ. On the table, on the Last Supper, we saw that John was the one that rested his head on his chest. So many things the disciples wanted to ask Jesus, they couldn't summon boldness enough to ask him. They would ask John to ask him, because there was a privilege that John enjoyed on account of the intimacy that existed between him and Christ. When you read the Synoptic Gospels, the Gospel of John was different. The Gospel of John was not just a historical account of the things that happened. There were many seals that John was able to break as he was revealing the life of Christ. In fact, if you want to really encounter God through the Gospels, the easiest pathway of accessing depths in God was through John. Because John was not about telling the story of the life of Jesus necessarily. His attempt was to reveal the deity of Christ. When his gospel was to be summarized, he said many things did Christ that were not written. He said if they were to be written, there is no volume of books on earth that can contain it. He said, but these ones are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So when you read the Gospel of John, many times he went into expounding the person and the personality of Christ. The seven I ams of Jesus Christ is captured in the book of John. I am the door. I am the way. I am the bread of life. All of these were an attempt of revealing God being crystallized to the humankind. Because where God dwells, it will be impossible to know him. God has existed aeons before time was created. It was impossible for God to be known. Paul was speaking and Paul said, he dwells in light that is unapproachable. In fact, I've taught you before many times that the concept of the throne of God, it's not a seat. God is a spirit. He doesn't need a seat. The concept of the throne of God, number one, is a revelation of authority. And number two, is a revelation of a technology in the spirit that God created to make it possible for creation to interact with him. So what happens on the throne of God is that God decides to reveal different dimensions of his deity per time. When John entered the throne room, he saw that God was clothed with crystals And those of you that have done a little bit of physics, you understand that crystals do two things. Number one, they reflect. And number two, they refract. The reason diamond glitters is because when light passes through the diamond, the crystals bend it and refract a measure of the light that enters the diamond. You see, God is light and God cannot be approached. But in order for the heavenly beings to have the privilege of interacting with different dimensions of God, he had to clothe himself with crystals. And he created a throne where his dimensions can manifest per time. And so what the 24 elders do is that when they see a dimension, they hallow it. They fall on their faces and worship it. When they look up again and they want to sit down, they see another dimension, they hallow it. When they stand up to sit down, they see another dimension, they hallow it. So the reason they are falling on their faces is because every time they look up, they see a new dimension. And that has continued for billion aeons unending. So it is impossible for the totality of God to be interacted with that time. Now, the technology of man is an attempt of God to create a vessel that can host the fullness of deity. So when Jesus came, Jesus was actually an attempt of God, because he cannot be interacted with per time. An attempt of God of hosting the totality of deity, so that when you see Christ, you see all of the dimensions of Christ. So Christ did not just come to show us a part or a dimension of God. He came to reveal the fullness of deity. The writings of John was an attempt to reveal the different components of deity that is in Christ. Because John was the one that knew him more than every other of the disciples on account of his intimacy with Christ. This being that heaven cannot trap has been trapped in a man called Christ. And my attempt in writing the gospel is to show you the fullness of God. I am not about telling you how Jesus was born, how Jesus walked through Nazareth, how Jesus died necessarily. I am here to tell you that when you open Christ, there are different layers. There are different dimensions. There are different realms. That Christ is not just a person. Christ is the fullness of deity. In Christ is a place. In Christ is a system. In Christ is a civilization. In Christ are multifaceted dimensions. And my writing is an attempt to make you believe that he is the Son of God. He is the host of deity. He is the fullness of the personality of the Godhead. If you meet Christ, you have met the Godhead. This is what I'm about to write. So it takes a lot of audacity in intimacy to attempt to say that. If you have not walked with God, you can't say. You know, when Paul made a statement like, I've communicated the whole counsel of God, you will wonder, where have you been? The Bible says, who has known him that he might instruct him? Where have you journeyed to that you dare to say you know the whole counsel? So when you see some of the writers of scripture, their writing is the revelation of their depth in intimacy with God. And John is one of such writers that traveled so deep in God and attempted to reveal God in his writings. And so the writings of John is not about history. It's about the person of the Christ. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that even John, who thought he knew him so well, when he eventually saw him in glory, Jesus needed to reintroduce himself. And he said, I am the one who walks. I am the one who is. I am the one who is to come. I am the one who was there, but now liveth forevermore. Jesus had to begin to introduce himself to the one who was perceived to have known him more than every other. John had to begin to learn God afresh in the spirit to bring us dimensions that cannot be written, dimensions that cannot be trapped, dimensions that cannot be spoken about. In fact, there was a place where he entered in the spirit and he heard the voice of the seven thunders. He wanted to write and they said, don't write this. This one is for travelers. If you cannot journey, you can't know this. This one is not for those who read books. This one is for those who can pay the price to journey in intimacy. Because what ranks men in the realm of God is the quality of light they have seen. What ranks men in the realm of God is the depth where they have journeyed to. And everything God provides for us here is an attempt to woo us into himself. Because there is more in God that cannot be written. Are you following? There is so much in God that cannot be written. Now, I am attempting to say this because I want to show you the excellency of wisdom as touching your victory in Christ Jesus. Because many Christians are too undermined and oppressed because they don't know what God has made available. There is so much in God that you cannot receive as a man. In fact, if you receive it, you will realize its fullness when you get to eternity. Because there are dimensions that if they were to be released into you, you will become a deity. You know, the early church, they called John the Divine. Because of how much of God he carried. Because of the glory that he was able to embody. They called him John the Divine. That was his name in the early church. Because they looked at the man, and the man literally became a God in the flesh. The question is, if these dimensions exist in God, and men have touched them, why are we the way we are? If a man can touch God so much, carry God so much, that he attempts to write a book, and the book is not a literature. The book is to explain God like the anatomy of God, to show you who God is. If a man can dare to attempt to talk about God and make you feel he can reveal God to you because he knows God. And this knowledge he has is not just theory. This knowledge has fleshed on him so much that a generation called him God, John the Divine. Why are you like this? Why are we where we are? That our gospel today now is an attempt to preach what society will accept. Our gospel today is an attempt to make people live cautious and safe. Our gospel today is an attempt to say things that will be morally or socially correct. We are not able to explore so much of God. It looks almost as if what the early church knew and worked in, we have lost it. Because the things they taught, we cannot even scratch them. How can Jesus look at the people and tell them, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you? And today, we are masters of teaching people how to take supplements. We are masters of teaching people how to survive by human standard. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things, but where is our heritage? What was Jesus handing to us that we have not found? That rather, we are beginning to receive counsels from people who studied in the laboratory in order to live our lives. How can we then become a wonder to our generation? What was in the heart of God when he began to create man? Is it a being that the devil should molest? Is it a being that will function like a slave of time? Is it a being that will function like a slave of the systems of this world? Did God create a slave for the devil? What was God planning when he began creation in the first place? Are we the reflection of what God took his time to make? Or there is something we have not apprehended and we are not troubled or bothered about apprehending? What is it that God had in mind before he took his time to sit down and formulate you and I? That it looks as if the devil is even the one manifesting himself the most in us. The devil has cancer. He's looking for where to offload it. He looks for a man. The devil has lust. He's looking for where to offload it. He looks for a man. The devil has pain. He's looking for where to offload it. He looks for a man. Whereas God has many bodies, few men are able to host it. God has many agenda, many purposes. Only few men are able to receive it. Did God create us for Satan? Did God create us to be used of Satan? This service is not just a service where you come to receive a miracle. This is a service you come to find out who you are in God and begin to manifest it. Because if we keep gathering Sunday to Sunday and Christians are lining up to receive healings, then there's something wrong. We are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We are supposed to be the hope of our generation. But today, it is the people trained from Harvard, from Oxford, that are even remedying our crisis. If doctors are to vacate the world today, in 1 week, millions of people will die. Millions. If doctors who read books that were taught by human philosophy and knowledge, if they leave this world today, if you say no more practice of medicine, in 1 week, millions of people will die and most of them will be Christians. And so the question is, are we the hope of the world, or are the people trained by the world our hope? I want to share something tonight, and I titled it Victory Through Divine Wisdom. There is so much in God that we have not explored. There is so much in God that we have not seen. There is so much in God that we have not touched. That's why we are where we are. And a generation must rise that will become angry and say, whatever it is that is in God that makes for victory, I must access it before I leave here. I am not about to be at the mercy of another man. I'm not about to be at the mercy of any system of the world. I want to find what the apostles found, that they did not just leave, but they wrote about and spoke of, to the point that my life will become a witness of these dimensions. This is what my burdens will be, because I want to live the victorious life that is in Christ Jesus. You see, because we have not been taught wisdom, it now looks as if hear the scriptures, hear messages, and be religious. But if you have crisis in life, better look for real help. In fact, they make it look now as if what pastors are preaching is something to spike you and to make you religious. But when you have a problem, better look for real answer. And so you can come to church, that's fine. But if you are sick, if you know what is good for you, go to the hospital. You can come to church, that's fine. But if you are poor, better go look for somebody to teach you a trade. If you are lonely, that's fine. If you are in church, that's fine. But if you are lonely, better go to the world and seek pleasure that will satisfy your soul. And so we come to church to practice religion, and we go into the world to seek real answers. And the question is, why are we so? Because we have not touched God. We have not seen the realms of God. And so tonight, I want to show you the authority and the excellency of wisdom, so that you will know why you were created and what you were created to represent. Because you are not ordinary. The first man that God approved of, that reflected God's plan as talking man, is Jesus. And so anybody who does not live to that standard has not really fulfilled destiny. Jesus was the first man that mirrored what God had in mind when he created man. And so anything that Jesus does and anything that cannot happen to Jesus should be your own experience. You do it and it cannot happen to you. So you came to model Christ to your generation. But for you to get there, you must understand the authority and the excellency of wisdom, and you must internalize it until you become it. If you don't understand it, if you don't internalize it, and if you don't become it, trust me, they will lay hands on you, you will be healed, you will be sick again. They will prophesy to you, you will prosper, you will fail again. Your life will be a fluctuation. But when you begin to touch these things, and you begin to walk in these things, you will become one that moves from one level of glory to another level of glory. From one level of power to another level of power. From one dimension to another dimension. And you become a theater through which men find God. This is the heritage of the believer. You know, I was contemplating on the subject of wisdom before coming for this service. And the Lord took me to a scripture in Proverbs chapter 8 from verse 22. I want to say this so that every verse of scripture will take a new look when you approach it. We don't know the power and the authority of the wisdom of God. And so when God speaks, we trivialize it. And the Bible said the word spoken to us was the same spoken to them. He said, but it did not profit them. They trivialized it. They didn't mix it with faith. You will begin to honor, reverence, and appreciate the word of God if you understand the power and the excellency of divine wisdom. Let me read this scripture and then show you what this verse of the Bible is saying. Wisdom was speaking, and he said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning. He said, before his works of old, he possessed me. So the tool with which God does everything is a personality called wisdom. In verse 23, quickly, it said, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Before creation began, it said, I was set up. Wisdom stood like a pillar. He was the reference of reality. He was the architect of reality. He was the praise from whence God did everything he did, from his knowledge to his creation. You see, I stood before God like a pillar. I was set up from everlasting. Go to verse 24. It said, when there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, he stood before anything was. Verse 25. He said, before the mountains were settled, before the he was, I was brought forth. Now, there's something wisdom is trying to draw our attention to here. Wisdom is trying to let us know that in eternity, time is not the reference. I am the reference. Because even time itself is a reality within wisdom. If wisdom collapses, time will collapse. So he's telling you, whatever it is you see in time, it does not have enough power to undermine what comes out from within me. Because both time and the experiences in time, I give them expression. I am the reference. Now, when you study the Bible, let me just drift quickly since I'm talking about time. There are three major places where the Bible made a statement that looks like a reference. And I will show you how wisdom holds all things together. In Genesis chapter 1, it said, in the beginning. Now, here's what wisdom was saying. He said, I stood before the beginning. It said in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, wisdom is telling you there is a realm that exists before what you call beginning. I was before beginning began. So, when you see in the beginning, you may think he's talking about time. He's talking about a place in wisdom. Because where time began from is a place inside wisdom. Wisdom holds time. So, when he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, he was talking to you about a depth in wisdom. So time is a depth in wisdom, because it was wisdom that framed time. If that depth of wisdom is removed, time will vanish. The reason you don't have time in eternity is because that depth was not allowed to participate in eternity. So what you call time is a place. It's just like you are studying wisdom, maybe from foundation to top. And he said, in the beginning God created, and that realm is here. So what you call time is actually a depth within the context of wisdom. So you are the one calling it time. Wisdom is seeing it as a place. And so Genesis chapter 1 is the place in wisdom where the power to create dwells. So every time creation takes place, you have gone back to Genesis 1. And so when you find people who tap into inspiration to invent things, they are not working with time. They are working with a place. And so when God wants to make you an inventor or a creator, what God does is that He goes back to that depth of wisdom. If you travel back there, you become a creator. Because creation, it did not begin in time. Creation is a place in wisdom. And so when a man begins to journey in wisdom, and he comes to that place, God in the beginning, creation will begin. So the power to create is the depth within wisdom. And so when man travels with God, what he's doing is that he is navigating the different quarters of wisdom. Now, I hope you know that John came in John chapter 1 verse 1, and John 2 spoke about his own beginning. So what these guys are talking about is not time. The beginning of John chapter 1 verse 1 is older than the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. Because in beginning of John chapter 1 verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. So John's own definition of beginning is a person. Moses' definition of beginning is a creation. So while Moses was defining beginning as an activity, John was defining beginning as a person. So when you go to the beginning, you will meet different things. There is a beginning that is an activity, and there is a beginning that is a person. The beginning that is a person is older than the beginning that is a creation. You know, Jesus was speaking in Matthew 19 verse 8. Hear what Jesus said. They were arguing about marriage. Okay. And Jesus looked at them and said, in the beginning it was not so. So there are many beginnings in the spirit. So the beginning Jesus was talking about there is where laws are made. The reason you say, let a woman be divorced if he fornicates, is because of your flesh, your fall. He said there is a place in wisdom where laws are created. So there is a place where the oracles of God come from within wisdom. It's also called in the beginning. So when you say in the beginning, you are looking at different shades of wisdom. There's a beginning that is God. There's a beginning that is an activity of creation. There's a beginning that is a place where the laws of God derive from. So if you go to the beginning where the laws of God dwell, you will become the law. That's where Moses went to on Mount Sinai. The reason he was able to come down with the Ten Commandments was because he went to another beginning. The beginning where the oracles of God were. And so Moses did not just come with a law. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, he said when Moses is read, so Moses himself became the law. Because when you go there, you become it. I'm trying to tell you the power of wisdom in transforming you. If you go to where creation is, you'll become a creator. If you go to where the laws dwell, you become a law. And everywhere you stand, you are a reference to your generation. When the Bible said you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, it's another kind of beginning. Because Mount Zion was not created. It's the dwelling of God. So there's a beginning where God lives. That's where the convergence of immortals take place. Every being that is created must travel back to that beginning where God dwells, if you will be part of God's purpose. If you have not gone there, you cannot handle or lead the purposes of God. You know, people stand up and start doing things. They don't know why it fails. It fails because it's not rooted in wisdom. If you don't go to the beginning where creation is, you can't create anything. You can only photocopy things. And if you try to create, it will be a failed project. If you don't go to the beginning where the laws of God dwells, your words can't carry authority. It can't carry power. Your words cannot become a law to a generation. If you don't go to the beginning where the immortals are summoned, you can't have a purpose in God. You will only follow those who have gone there. So when Moses climbed Horeb in Exodus chapter 3, he did not climb the physical mountain. He came to where purposes are given. That is another beginning. So wisdom
is the key for victorious living. And you know what Jesus did for us? He simplified wisdom and made them capsules. So every word in scripture is a capsule of wisdom. You can carry one verse of the Bible. If your faith is able to interact with it, that can become a realm. That can become God. That can become power. That can become anything, because the scriptures therefore have become a congregation of the dimensions of wisdom. There is a scripture that will come alive in your spirit. That scripture will take you to the beginning, that represents creation. And then suddenly you find yourself, you hear what the woman said. She said her word came. This woman had been working for more than 10 years without promotion, but her word came. The moment her word came, it didn't matter the bureaucracy for promotion. That word came with the promotion. And so those who are in the office, they have no choice but to sign the document. So you can be sleeping, you will wake up. You will not be able to sleep. The first thing in the morning, you will go to the office and sign the promotion. Because when the word came, it came with the power to promote her. And so whoever it is who is there, if you don't want to promote her, you'll be kicked away. That's why her boss was replaced. Because the word for the promotion came. This boss does not want to align, so he can't sit there. The boss has to be replaced for somebody else who will obey the word, to obey it. This is wisdom at work. Every verse of scripture is not just a dimension of wisdom. It's the fullness of the wisdom of God. When you catch it, it can bring you life. It can bring you power. It can bring you promotion. It can bring you anything it thinks you are seeking. But a generation have not explored the word. But you know what the apostles did? They sat on the word. They studied the word. They knew the word. They encountered the word. And they were able to write the word. John said that which was from the beginning, which our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have handled, of the word of life. We heard of it, we saw it, we handled it, now we can communicate it. And so anybody who wants to live victoriously must begin to catch the word. When you catch the word, different dimensions of wisdom begins to crystallize. Your health can change. Your status can change. Your possibilities can change. So when you find people going through issues, the issues are not the problem. It is a lack of wisdom that is revealed through their crisis. And so the first thing we must understand tonight is the excellency of wisdom. Why am I saying this? Because I want to show you some wisdom from scripture. Some wisdom from scripture. But if I don't tell you the power, the authority, and the excellency of wisdom, when I'm saying it, you can say I've heard it before. It's not how many times you heard it. Have you caught it? If you don't catch it, you can't manifest it. Most of the things that you make for your deliverance, you have heard it before, but you have never caught it. But in it is the power for your salvation. In it is the key for your liberty. But have you caught it? Do you know how you were designed? You were designed to catch the word. You were designed to crystallize the word. You were designed to manifest the word. That is the only thing you were designed to do. You were designed to catch it, to crystallize it, and to manifest it. Every other thing you find yourself doing is a corridor to manifest who you have become on account of your intimacy with the word. If you have not caught the word, you have not begun to live. And any other spirit can invade your space and dominate you. And so when you understand the power of wisdom, you also need to understand how you were created, how you should position yourself to catch, to interact, and to express this. Hope you know all the things I'm telling you here are places men went in God. Moses went to where creation was. John went to where God was. They went to different locations in God because they were interacting with the word. If you go there, you become it, because you were designed to be able to go there. But the problem is that you have exposed yourself with things that shut down your frequency. You have exposed yourself to things that reduces your potential. And that's why you look at yourself and you define yourself based on what the mirror told you. You define yourself based on what circumstances tell you. You define yourself based on what society tell you. You are not created to reflect what society thinks. You are created to embody wisdom and to showcase the excellency of wisdom. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26.
Weekend, and I was trying to explain to them who the new creation is. Some of the things I told them, I can't preach it in the public. People will hear it and call it heresy. It will be difficult. See, there are many things. Paul said, we speak wisdom among men, them that are perfect. He said, it's not the wisdom of this world that the princes can articulate. The wisdom of this world that the princes can understand. The wisdom we are speaking, he said, it was hidden before the foundations of the world. But you see, you can't teach it. When you say it, people who are theologians, who can read the revealed aspect of scripture, they will use it to argue with you. The aspect of scripture that the brain can understand. They pick that aspect of scripture and they argue with you. I was telling Pastor Victor, I said, when the apostles were writing, deliberately, they left certain gates. So you hear some phrases, they just leave it hanging. Anybody who can find it should enter. He said, as it is, so are we. He now said, in this world. In this world is a key. Because if they say, as it is, so are we, anybody can say yes when we are raptured. He now added, in this world. So anywhere you can travel to in this world, that one now is no longer, that one is not Bible study again. That one is a journey. But you see, as it is, so are we. Any theologian can answer and say, when we are raptured, we will wear our celestial body. Because he thinks our divine dimension only begins when we wear our celestial body. But John is telling him that even while we are yet in this world, there is something divine about us. That we can manifest physically, not when we are raptured. That while we are yet here, there is something that can be so divine. And you know, people like Stephen touched it. The Bible said when Stephen looked up, they wanted to kill him. That's when you should cry and beg for your life. But the guy looked up and they said his face was like the face of an angel. And the people could not behold him because what they were seeing was no longer a product of biology. They were seeing divinity fleshed out of the man's body. You know, that was the first time Stephen decided to manifest it because he was about to leave. Only God knows what Stephen showcases when he's in the place of prayer. Because there are other dimensions that Stephen couldn't bring to church. If he brings it to church, the Cana will kneel down to worship him. So the way Jesus goes to hide on the mountain,
You know, he said, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. Because there is something you can do, and the natural body and its propensities can be exchanged by the glorified body. Not when you are raptured, while you are yet walking on earth. Jesus knew it. But you know, if Jesus comes into the synagogue like that, even the Pharisees will repent.
Laying on of hands is there, but there's a technology superior. I'm telling you this so you will know that what you need is not an anointing oil poured on you. It is for babes. When you mature, you begin to crave for something more. Because there is such a thing called the transfiguration of the body. When you mature, you begin to crave for something deeper. Because something can happen to your body and cancer can stay there. What kind of body are we wearing? Bodies that demons manipulate. That's not the body you are supposed to reflect. There is a glory that is locked on your inside. Your body is waiting to host it. Host it. It was Pastor Donald that said, the Holy Ghost does not live in your spirit. The Bible said your body is a temple. Your body. There is something about this body and glory. And the Bible said Moses walked into it. And he said at 120, he said his strength did not go down. His eyes were not abated. There is no such thing as wearing a glass. There's no such thing about weaknesses. Caleb said, 40 years ago, you gave me this mountain. He said, give it to me now. I will take it. I know you think by time my strength will go down, but there is a technology. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible said God was speaking and he said, let us make man. And then you are asking yourself, you have created many things before. And so the angels gathered. What does he want to do this time? And for the first time, the God that cannot be seen, the God that cannot be known, is about to bring a mystery to the earth realm. And he said, this man will not be in the order of any other being but myself. Let us make him in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And God wanted to put the man on earth. If this man would be like you, then he should live in the spirit with you. If you are putting this man on earth, how can he function like you? Because I want to reveal myself through this gate. This is a gate that will allow divinity to enter the physical realm. So he will function in the earth realm. Now, for that to happen, wisdom had to go to work.
And this is what wisdom did. He said the only way this man can function exactly like you, yet not living in your dimension, is for us to give him three kinds of life. He has to have a body that functions in the natural. He has to have another body that functions in the spirit. Because the man does not have one body. He has three bodies. There is one that operates in the spirit. There's another one that operates in the natural. He said there will be a life that will power the spirit man, and there will be a life that will power the bodily man. And he said that is not enough. We need a bridge between the spirit and the natural. He said, so what we'll do is, when we finish creating the spirit man and creating the natural man, we will touch them together. There will be a spark. Because God is lightning. God is electricity. When that spark takes place, a bridge will be created. And so the bridge that was created was called the soul. So the man lives in the spirit. The man lives in the natural. But the problem is this. The life the man chooses to service is the one that will dominate him. If he services the life that is in the spirit, something of the spirit will travel into the body, and the body will become a reflection of that which is in the spirit. And so the man was created to define and to reflect God. The moment the devil knew it, he knew there was a problem. If this one comes out, God doesn't need to show up anymore. When he shows up, God has shown up. When he appears, God has appeared. I was teaching you about faith last week, and I told you there are two kinds of faith. There is the Abrahamic faith. The Abrahamic faith is for the man that functions with the consciousness of the body. He trusts God to intervene. But I said there is the God kind of faith that doesn't trust God to intervene. He appears in the place of God. Jesus said, when you see a mountain, don't talk to God about it. You command the mountain. The mountain will hear you like he hears God. The mountain will obey you like he obeys God, because you are a reflection, a visible reflection of the invisible God. So when you talk, God talks. And Jesus speaking in Luke 10:16, he said, whoever hears you, hears me. There is a dimension in you that carries my fullness. So much so that when you talk, is the voice of God creation we hear. When you speak, is the voice of God creation we hear. But you need to bring the body under subjection so that the spirit can take over. If the spirit does not take over, then divinity cannot be seen through you. This is why we have reduced our reality to seeking healing, to seeking prophetic direction, to seeking intervention. I'm not saying they are wrong, but I'm saying there's a realm higher. There's a realm you get to where you don't need healing. Because life has flown from your spirit too much to dominate your body for any sickness to survive there. There is a realm you get to where you don't need prophetic direction, because you are living from the realm of God. You are seeing from the realm of God. That's where God wants us to get to. He provided healing. He provided giftings. He provided intervention, because we need to grow from somewhere, but we cannot remain there. We cannot remain there. We must come to that point where we expose our body to glory until God flows out of us. If God does not flow out of us, our generation cannot see God. No matter how intelligent our preachings are, no matter how eloquent our messages are, today people labor to preach intelligent messages. People labor to say things that are scholarly correct. People labor to say things that are intelligent. And God is asking, I want one man to show me. I want one man. When God sent many prophets who were preaching messages and the world will not change, he sent his son. One man came with the body and the manifestation of God. Until today, the world has not recovered. God is still asking that question. When you go on your job, will you only preach a message, or you will show them divinity? When you go to the market, will you only preach a message, or you will show them divinity? You come to the office, you say God is powerful. They have malaria, you have malaria. They are trusting on salary, you are trusting on salary. They are sick, you are sick. And then you are telling them, they are asking you, which God is powerful? Okay, let's join you and do religion. But what we are looking for, you don't have it. Imagine what happens when you get to your job and everybody has COVID, but you alone don't have it. And then you tell them, touch me, don't worry. When you touch me, COVID knows. And they touch you, they are healed. They will ask you, which God do you serve? Imagine if you go on your job and then salary is stopped but supernaturally you are sustained and you are living as if salary is not what presents you, then people will ask you, who are you? Which God are you serving? That's when you preach a message. Jesus didn't tell us to go and preach messages and do signs. He sent us to do signs so that we can preach messages. But you see, a generation is not angry. We have mastered how to manage this bodily life. We have mastered how to service this life. And so you know what happens. When one man catches reality, he becomes a god. And then millions of people gather around him. There is no glory there. If you like, stand. Cast demons from 10,000 people. There is no glory there. If you like, stand. Have a healing line. And lay hands on 100 people. And all of them are healed. There is no glory there. If you like, be generous. And be a philanthropist. And give money to every poor people. There is no glory there. You know when glory happens? When you come to the church and there is no sick person. You ask them, who is sick here? Nobody is sick. Sickness can't come here. When you come to a church and you ask them, who is in need of direction? Everybody knows where they are going. When you speak with them, they will tell you, God told me 2 weeks ago that on the 20th of June, I am going here. I will do this. On the 21st of July, I'm going here. In August, I'm going here. You will know that these ones are mature in glory. These ones have ascended to their realm and God can entrust them with things. But you see, because we don't want people to grow, we now create a doctrine around what we have known for the past 30 years, for the past 20 years, for the past 10 years, and we keep recycling it, but nobody can push into God. Nobody can press into God. Nobody can host God and express God. And so we live normal, talking big about a God that we don't know. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, oh. A book and he showed me. He said, see what John G. Lake said. You know what he said? He said, taking drugs and allowing yourself to be treated by doctors like adultery. He said, because you have allowed something else to possess your body. So it's chloroquine now that brings vitality to you. It's the same as taking morphine to be excited. So any state you want your body to go to, you need a chemical to bring you to that state. It says like adultery. The body of man was created to be possessed only by the Holy Ghost. You hear John Chile carried virus in his hand and he died. You say, you too, you can't. It's not anointing. It's revelation. It's intimacy. It's depth of reality. You can't teach that today. You can't teach it. You try. People will go out of zeal and they will die. Because this is not something to come and boast. That is the place he has brought his body to. There are hours he exposes his body to glory. And so there is so much glory on his life that the propensities in the body are ascended. On the strength of that, there is as much glory in his body that as it is in his spirit. Because that's how Jesus lived. Jesus' spirit was divine. His soul was divine. His body was divine. And the calling that we have is to manifest divinity in every quarter. But you see, this church of number, this church of excitement, this church that does not expose people to the rigor of intimacy, can never come there. And so we will remain in teaching, supplements, exercises, in order to live like God. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with it, but I'm saying there are higher realms of experiences. Why have we allowed ourselves to be trapped in this world? Why have we become so much like the ordinary? In fact, people who don't know God are more healthy and more successful than most believers. what has gone wrong.
The devil truncated the project. And so wisdom went to work again. He said, what I wanted to design cannot be seen. Wisdom went to work again. And this time around, wisdom opened up three things. There's something called regeneration. There's something called transformation. And there's something called transubstantiation. In regeneration, wisdom says what you need to do for your spirit to become divine is to be joined to the Lord. It says whoever is born of God. So a new kind of birth was reintroduced into equation. Birth was no longer biological alone. It says now, when you accept Christ, it says something happens in your spirit. A new spirit is born. And that spirit is not just born. It says that spirit is permanently joined to the Lord. And so your spirit becomes divine. And it said the Holy Ghost seals the boundary of that spirit. So much so that there can be no corruption. According to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. So, when you accept Christ, a new spirit is born. That spirit, by wisdom, is joined to the Lord to keep it divine. And it said that the Holy Ghost seals that spirit. This is why many don't have infirmity of the spirit, because it is secured. But wisdom said, there's another layer. It said the soul must be transformed. It is spirit that begs spirit. But when it comes to the soul needs truth continually. Because it is truth that will transform the soul. And then when it comes to the body needs light. And so, why you need spirit for your spirit to be born and for your spirit to become divine? If you want your soul and your body to function at the frequency of divinity, you must expose it continually to truth and to light. And that one, he said, it will be your responsibility to help you walk with God. And so the summary of our walk on earth and our life on earth is transformation and transubstantiation. Life on earth has nothing to do with getting a job. You get a job because you are going to represent God on that corridor. But if you have not contacted God enough to show God to the world, what you need to be doing is to be seeking God, not to be looking for a job. I know this one sounds barbaric, but this is what life is about. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you have not found the kingdom, you can't seek any other thing. Seek first, because the reason God can send you into a job, the reason God can send you to a market, is because you have attained some measure of transformation. So when you come there, the truths that have transformed you, you can usher that corridor to it. When you have encountered light, the measure of light you carry, you will bring it there. But many have not found God. They are seeking other things. And so their life becomes one level of corruption to another level of corruption. They don't know that man's preoccupation is transformation and transfiguration. Transformation and transfiguration. Searching God through his word and searching God in the spirit. You contact truth in the word and you contact light in the spirit. If you have not caught God, trust me, when you find the word, you will lose your soul. If you have not caught God, that job you are looking for, get it. And see how God diminishes on your inside. And you will not know the effect now until you get to eternity. Am I saying you shouldn't get a job? No. Am I saying you shouldn't start a business? No. But I am saying there are priorities in life. That it is your encounter with God that precedes every other thing you are doing. And in case you didn't know this and you have known it, now you make God your priority. So that by all means, you begin to know God more than you know any other thing. Do you know what the Bible said even about riches? It said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That means your transformation is superior to your riches. Your transformation is superior to your opportunities. Your transformation is superior to your wealth. If you have not attained transformation, you are not permitted to possess anything. That thing will become your God. And that's why many are worshipping pleasure. Many are worshipping money. Many are worshipping men. Because these things have more power on their soul than the word of God.
This is why many are sick. This is why many are dying. Because they have the word much more than they have light. Light is deficient in them. And so when the crisis of this world comes, which is in the spirit representative of darkness, it superimposes over them and dominates them. And so you find somebody is a professor, but he has tumor in his brain. He doesn't know what to do. How did you grow to the rank of a professor? You know physics so much, you are called a professor of physics, and you are a baby in light. What kind of training have you exposed yourself to? That means your growth process is a distorted process. If you have studied anything on earth to the level that you are called a professor, then you should be a master in the realm of light. But you see, because we don't prioritize the pursuit of light, we can be professors mentally, but our body has not yet been exposed to light. And so when cancer comes, cancer will destroy somebody who studied biology, who studied mathematics for 35 years. And that person is stranded. He doesn't know what to do. When a demon comes, a demon can possess somebody who is a millionaire. And that demon can wreck his life. How did you study money? How did you study economics to the point where you are able to be a millionaire and you don't know what to do in life to address the demon? It means your growth was a distorted growth. There's nothing wrong in growing in knowledge to becoming a professor. There's nothing wrong in growing in life to becoming a millionaire. But he said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul. So your soul should prosper beyond any other form of prosperity. And so when a man does not apprehend the word, the truths of the word, when a man does not engage light constantly, even though he's rising, the devil is just watching. The reason the devil is looking at him is because the evil day has not yet come. Leave him. So long as he's not growing in light, he's not a threat. So long as he's not growing in truth, he's not a threat. Let's face those who are making progress first. We can come to him any day. We can come for him any day. And the guy, after 30 years of labor, they send an apprentice witch. And they end his story in a second. Because in the natural, he has grown. But in the spirit, he's a babe. Sometimes, when the devil doesn't even have your time yet, he said, let us plant an alarm system in his heart. And then they put heart palpitation. They put high blood pressure. They put something there. That one should be a body. Let him be carrying it until we have his time. And they just put an alarm system frustrating your existence because they are facing very serious people. They know there's an intercessor somewhere who will not come out of his room. That intercessor is affecting their signal. That intercessor is interrupting their operation. And so that intercessor is where they are dealing now. So they can mobilize 1,000 demons to stop that intercessor from praying. Because they don't have time to allocate demons to everybody. They mount all of them on the intercessor. Because if that intercessor is praying there, there will be an intervention for the businessman. There will be an intervention for the preacher. And so 1,000 demons are laboring on one man. And they just put high blood pressure on another man to be wasting his life. They don't have time for him yet. Because devils know what matters. Only men don't know what matters. Only men are pursuing things. In the whole universes of God, only men are pursuing things. Angels are seeking to please him. Demons are seeking to destroy his agenda. They are pursuing things that have eternal value. Only men are pursuing mundane things. So the world we have been sent to colonize has become our distraction. The world we are sent to take over has become our master. And so people are mastered by things. Somebody is mastered by a movie. Somebody is mastered by football. Somebody is mastered. People are mastered by things that have no eternal value. And he cannot help himself. He will lie down there like in the grave and watch movies for 12 months. He will lie down there, argue football from one season to another season. There's nothing wrong in watching football, but football cannot master you. There is another syllable that you were invited to study. How much truth is in your spirit? How much light do you carry? Because that is what makes you an ambassador to your generation. And the reason we are sick, the reason we are helpless, is because we have not yet been saturated with truth and light. When you are saturated and you appear, demons will know. Because it's not only Jesus that carries light. He said, Jesus will know. He said, Paul will know. who are you? Jesus is generous. He shares his light. He shares his dimension. But it's for only those who will seek him. It's for only those who will draw to him. It's for only those who will come near. Because the moment light appears, your crisis may break. Why do you think you come for service? One word, people's situation turn around. Because the circumstances of life cannot withstand truth. The circumstances of life cannot withstand light. We are not on your job. We don't go to your office with you. Why do we speak and things change on your job? Because of the truth that we carry. And you don't have to depend on the apostle to keep talking. When you catch it for yourself, something will begin to change. And so while you are walking into your office, you are walking there and your words are going ahead of you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, thou art with me. He said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. So your enemies can be present, you will still prosper. You don't prosper because God killed your enemies. You prosper because you have truth. You prosper because you have light. They can gang up. He said, surely they will gather. He said, but it's not with me. Surely they will gather. See, when we tell you to pursue light, oh, that's where your victory lies. There is something wisdom has put in light. There is something wisdom has put in truth. That when you are transformed, you are authorized. That when you are flooded with light, you are empowered. And that empowerment can shift systems on your account. But you see, many are not laboring there. If you will make up your mind and say, Lord, show me thy light. Show me thy light. Show me thy light. See, the way God begins is that he first of all ends your affliction to show you the excellency of wisdom. And when he ends your affliction, then he invites you to walk with him. He invites you. Did you not see Jesus? He walked the earth for 3.5 years. The multitude came to him. He was healing them. Because God will first of all deal with your affliction. When he's done, then he now invites you. And tell you, this light that broke your affliction is a realm. Come and journey. When he breaks your affliction, then he tells you, this truth that changed your story is a realm. Come and walk in it. If you walk in it, you will discover it's not just about victory in the natural world. It's about thrones. It's about dominions. It's about ranking. It's about realms in Zion. And so you begin to climb from one level of glory to another. The 12 disciples climbed to a realm and Jesus told them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, at the regeneration, you will sit with me on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So where they went to in light, they had become judges. They were no ordinary men anymore. They will sit with Jesus to judge men. When you begin to journey in light, then you will discover that it's a realm. It's a realm, and everything of God is there. Everything of God is there. A generation must pay the price. You must pay the price. You must pay the price. I know God will heal the sick here, but the reason truth will break your affliction is because truth is inviting you to its realm. I know light will come to address somebody's affliction, but it's greater than that. The reason light is coming is because it's a realm. The fullness of your ordination is locked in the Spirit. The Bible said, holy men of God, is that they speak as they were carried. These ones met God. They saw the power of God. They saw the intervention of God. But they came to a place they were carried. For them, it was now a journey with God. Do you know what now happened? They came to a point where the world became too noisy for them. And so what the ordinary man is pursuing, they started laying them down. They started laying them down. Peter came to a place, they wanted to kill him. They thought he would beg, and he looked at them. He said, when my master was crucified, he was crucified facing up. He said, I beg you, do me one favor. When you crucify me, turn me upside down. You see, you will think it's about dealing with your affliction. When God deals with your affliction, and you start chasing God, you will now discover What he gave you first was an appetizer. A point will come, you will speak like Paul. You say, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I can lay down everything. Because when you enter light, nothing matters anymore. Does it not shock you that all of these apostles, they had wives and children. They were so busy writing letters to churches, and they didn't remember to write letters to their wives and their children. Even when Paul was in prison, some of them didn't even bother to marry. They had been sucked into light so much that nothing in time mattered to them anymore. For such people, they don't suffer what men suffer. But you see, when they journey in light, they get to a place where they don't seek what men seek. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. He said, I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. I have seen too much in light to crave for what you crave for. Because when you get into light, you will discover what men crave for is death. Those distractions, those lusts is death. You don't need them. There is something in God that our generation must fight to behold. He said, we all with open faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. I don't know what you are looking for. Trust me tonight, God will heal you. Trust me tonight, God will touch you. But that touch is an invitation to a realm. The healing is the smallest thing. See, he called it the children's bread. There are higher things locked up in God that a generation has been invited to seek. And those are the things he invites you to. Are you ready to journey with the Lord? Okuku parada. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Okuku parada. Imole deo. Okuku parada. You see the way God dealt with men? In Exodus 23 verse 25, he said, you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy water. He shall remove sickness from the midst of thee. And the people were serving God. They were serving God because they needed healing. They were praying because they needed healing. They were sowing their seeds because they needed healing. And God now came further. And he said, he was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes you were healed. He took them from one level of intimacy to another. At first, they thought service was about receiving something from God. He now went further and told them, this thing is not about receiving something. He said, you don't need to do anything to be healed. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes you were healed. So when I called you to serve me, it's not so I can bless your bread and your water. I can bless your bread and your water without you serving me. After all, the rain and the sun falls both on the good and the evil. I said that to get your attention. But what I'm calling you into is more than bread and water. And then he went further and he said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body. So you now know where God was going. The attempt was for the spirit to enter you. Was for you to become one with the spirit. Was for the spirit to become your reality. Your pursuit should become the spirit. And he said, when that happens, you don't need to pray for healing anymore. You know what he says? As you are engaging the spirit, he said the spirit knows how to quicken your body. So your body naturally is ascended beyond the level of sickness. So I am inviting you to something. This is the excellency of wisdom. You were created to host God. You were created to manifest God. You were created to reveal God to your generation. And as you make that your preoccupation, sicknesses, pains, death and all the evil that men suffer, you will stop suffering from it. Because that was not what God planned to do. You were created to actually live above it. You were created to live above the realm of sickness, above the realm of poverty. But you fell below that realm. So God was wooing you to Himself. Tonight, there is a call. There is a call for those who want to apprehend truth and who wants to walk in light. You will tell yourself, the world has distracted me enough. Oh, I have become a victim because I went the way of the world. Sickness was not my problem. Poverty was not my problem. My turning away from God was my problem. And tonight, I want to reconnect with God vitally. Not just to come out and give my heart to Christ, but to live for Him and to live for Him only. And as you do that, the glory of God will begin to break out of your spirit like you have never seen. You will not just live above sickness, you will become a conductor of eternal life. So much so that when you touch people, sickness in them will die. You will not just only prosper, but your words will carry people's seasons. That when you speak, you can awaken the season of a man. Because these are the realms God has invited you to. This is our calling. This is who we are. We are not ordinary. We are a wonder to our generation. But the degree to which we are a wonder is the degree to which we host Him and the degree to which we manifest Him. This is the excellency of wisdom. One breaks into your soul through the word of truth. Another breaks into your soul as you engage God in the Spirit. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? And make a demand tonight. Lord, I seek You and You alone tonight. That's all the prayer. I seek You and You alone tonight. I seek You and You alone tonight. I live for You and for You only. And see how the wonders of God will break out of your life. Channels of my spirit.
Channels of my spirit. Open up. I am with the Father. Open up.
Let Him call us to this,
let Him call us to this. Open up,
channels of my spirit,
channels of my spirit.
Open up, I am with the Father,
I am with the Father.
Some of you came here with a yoke of sickness. But you see, where God is inviting you to, you are supposed to rule over the realm of sickness. Some of you came here with bondages from demons. But you see, the realm God is bringing you to is the realm where you rule over the demonic realm. Some of you came here with frustrations of life. But you see, the realm God is inviting you to is the realm where you reign over the affairs of life. And tonight, God wants to stretch His hands to show you that what you call your problem is not the problem. If only you will walk with Him. If only you will walk with Him. You will see how what you call a challenge will vanish before your eyes. Imanadao!
Oh, cool, cool, bad. Give me a
your hands there now. The excellency of truth is not in its eloquence. It's in the result, the command. As you are surrendering to God now, the yokes are about to roll away. The afflictions are about to give way. I want to give command to sicknesses and demons now. But you see, I'm seeing something in the spirit. God is setting men on fire. God is setting men on fire. I'm seeing men come under the influence of intense fire. Because the wonder generation is about to be born. Usher, please help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Alleluia. Alleluia. Open like a door, and this room is saturated with light, and men are being summoned to come into fresh baptism. People are being sucked into realms of light. Some of them will receive power to control commerce. Some of them will receive power to control demons. Some of them will receive power to function in corridors of authority. There is a new baptism of fire, and there's a new baptism of light. Wherever you are now, 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 I summon you. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Oh, the sentence. Marco Barakabato.
Let it turn to river. Some of you have been summoned to where laws are made in the spirit. Because God is conferring upon you the authority of judges in the spirit. Men are coming to the realms of judges, where laws are given, where laws are written, where principles are crafted. I see scrolls open in the spirit, and men are being brought into realms of enacting laws on ground, on sight. The power to become a custodian, the power to become a judge in the spirit, to make laws and policies, the authorities of Elohim. Father, wherever they are now, very quickly, my God, usher, help me quickly. It comes upon you like a fire. Heaven quickly. There's so much God wants to release here tonight, but we don't have the time. I thought I would share briefly and we'll pray. I just looked at the time and discovered we have exhausted time. In the name of Jesus, if you are trusting God to receive something, this is the time to receive. In the name of Jesus. Listen, I can teach you a lot of principles on how to just give a command and people are healed. This is not the excellency of what we are doing. But many have needs that God must touch. And that's why we do what we do. But you see, as you leave this service, most of you will begin to have angelic encounters. Because God is about to reawaken a generation. And a generation is not reawakened by intelligent messages. A generation is reawakened because realms open over them. And envoys are sent from the realm of God. They step into the affairs of men and begin to impact them with things that cannot be bought. Most of you will begin to have strange encounters from this week. Angelic encounters with dimensions and oppressions of the spirit, and you will see your life literally evolving into layers of divine possibilities. In the name of Jesus, I decree the gate of encounters open over you. My God. Please help God. Help those God is touching. Help those God is touching. I'm beginning to see movements all over the place. Help those God is touching. As fast as you can. Help those God is touching. There are movements in this place now. There are movements. We are about to fuse into a dimension. We are fusing into realms. Realms where demons cannot operate. Realms where demonic powers cannot operate.
Such as help those who cannot stand. Maraka ba eshavakia baraka. Saka la baratano sagabaya. Lift your hands toward heaven. The Lord is touching people now. I command the power of infirmity to be broken now. In the name of Jesus. I command the yokes of sickness be lifted now. In the name of Jesus. Everybody listening to me now, who is under the influence and the yoke of demons, that power is about to break. I'm seeing an arrow being pulled out of somebody's chest. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break that yoke now. I break that yoke now. I break that yoke now. God. Somebody came into this place with ulcer condition. You have excruciating pain. You can't even touch your stomach. The Lord has touched you now. That condition is gone. If you will check your body now, you are healed. God is already touching people. I command the spirit of blindness be gone. I command the spirit of deafness be gone. I command every growth and every tumor in the body be gone now. I command every joint and bone condition be healed now. In the name of Jesus. I command every blood and organ infection be gone now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing a vision of someone with swollen eyes. It's like something happened to you, a demonic influence came over you, and your eyeballs began to swell, and you suffer a lot of pain, tears coming out of that eye. I just saw a quick vision now. I don't know if there's somebody who have had that condition. I just received that now, that the Lord has touched you. Wherever you are listening to me now, that affliction is gone forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Somebody has been trusting God for the fruit of the womb for 5 years. In the name of Jesus, I curse barrenness. I command your womb, carry your child. Carry your child. Carry your child. In the name of Jesus. My God. Somebody has just been lifted now from where you were to a higher level. It's like a wind. Hear this. It's like a wind came upon you and carried you up to a higher ground. In the name of Jesus, I declare your promotion now. I declare your promotion now. Go forward and prosper. Go forward and prosper. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody is suffering from hypertension, a lot of pressure, and it has affected you, affected your life. Right now, that affliction, it leaves you forever. It leaves you forever. It leaves you forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A part of your body is becoming numb. Numb, as if you are even losing your mobility. Somebody towards my left, a part of your body is becoming numb. You are even losing your mobility. Every form of paralysis that is shot at you, I curse that arrow. I command it to be uprooted from your body. I command it to be uprooted from your body. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Every yoke the devil has put in you, I uproot them now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. 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 I don't know if somebody came here with a heart condition. I'm just feeling that pain on my chest right now. And I decree by the power of the Holy Spirit, every heart condition that you walked in here with is lifted. It's lifted. It's lifted. It's lifted. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing this vision again. Somebody is being invited into a room of light. The authority that wisdom imparts, the empowerment that wisdom imparts, in the name of Jesus, step into it now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. There's something about to happen here now. I'm seeing somebody who has been at one spot for more than 10 years. You have struggled to go forward. Every time you try, you sink. It's a power that has kept people down, even in your bloodline. The hand of God will come upon you now. And violently, it will break that affliction. Help that brother there. Violently. 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 That yoke is lifted. Violently. Help them so they don't injure themselves. Help them. Help them. Help them. So they don't injure themselves. Bring those people here for me quickly. Put this on them. Put this on them. Put this on them. That yoke just broke off your life now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Go ahead and do what you couldn't do before. If you couldn't walk, receive the power to walk. If you couldn't see, receive the power to see. And anybody you are standing in the gap for, I use you as a point of contact. And I command now, let that affliction be rolled away in the name of Jesus. That sister said she was in debt for a long time. The word of the Lord came to her. You will receive an alert in 6 digits. And in the same week, the power of God made it happen. And she received that. I decree over you, everything reducing the quality of your existence, they are cancelled now. I told you last week, I said you will receive something you have never received before. In the name of Jesus, everything reducing the quality of your existence, I curse them and I command them to come out of your body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. Can we be quiet for a moment? Can we be quiet? I still sense another wave coming over this assembly. Please be quiet. The wind of the Spirit is blowing over people now. If you know you'll be distracted, you can close your eyes and lift your hands. But please don't be distracted. It's bringing men into realms of possibilities. Possibilities. The generation of wonder workers. The generation of wonder workers. I see that wind of the Spirit blowing now. Not at least 7 persons will interact with it tangibly. It's a wind of the Spirit. It's a wind of the Spirit. It's a wind. It's a wind. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. On ground, online, the generation of those that work wonders. And I do double and all. Ojo tun da bu eno
o ni ni apata kibi ti e ene tun da bu eno ojo tun da bu eno o ni ni apata kibi ti e.
Don't be distracted, you don't have to fall. That's their response. Just receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Something supernatural is coming to your space. Your life will become supernatural. It's the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Towards my right here, it looks like something was planted inside somebody. And it's like a yoke in your chest. That thing is about to come out now. The power of God is bringing it out of your body. It will come upon you like power. And that thing will jump out of you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stretch hands over these ones. That one carrying that yoke in his body, by the power of the Holy Spirit, now I command you, come out! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Usher, help that person. We are out of time. You are free, sister. That yoke is lifted forever. We are out of time. Just go ahead and check your body. I'm seeing something come out of somebody's back, like your spinal cord. It's a sharp pain. This is somebody around here. It's like a sharp pain that has been there. It's like a spear. Sometimes you bend your back and it's like something was pierced into you. Check that back. You will discover it is gone forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, check your body. Check your body. If you have noticed a change already, you can just lift your hands and wave. If you have noticed a change in your body, you can lift your hands now. You can lift your hands now. Come on, come on, come on. You want to celebrate Jesus? I'm seeing somebody walking with gloominess. The spirit of death is upon him. They have checked severally. They can't find anything, but you are dying. It's like they tied rope in your liver, in your kidney, they are pulling it. You are feeling something pulling inside your chest and drawing you. You are dying. And you don't know why they cannot find it. It's the spirit of death. Who is that person? I want to lay hands on. No. God has touched you. But I'm seeing that happen to somebody again in this place. I'm seeing a masculine figure. This is a man. If that man is here, you can come. I'm seeing a man. You are dying. Something around this age looks like what I'm seeing. Leave him. Okay, those of you here, come up. Help those God is touching behind. Come up.
That's who you are. Oh, you mean here?
It's a demon. But it won't end your life. Come out!
a demon in your chest, right? Pulling you as though it's killing you from inside. It's a demon.
Come out!
All of you, breathe in and breathe out. That chain is broken. Take a deep breath and breathe out. For one of you, the power of God will erupt on you. Breathe in and breathe out. Mama,
come out! Come out!
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Help them, help the one under the power.
Come out!
Thank you, Father. They are still coming. This is what people suffer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See how fast your heart is beating. It's permanent. In the name of Jesus. Okay, well, we make declaration. Now, if you have noticed a healing, one more time, can you wave at me? I saw hands. Wave your hand clearly. My goodness. Those of you waving, you are the proof of what we preach. Now, run out quickly. Run out quickly from wherever you are sitting. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. That thing moving in your body, I caught it.
Come out!
You are free. It's permanent. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. God bless you. Those of you who are, you have noticed the healing, come. Can we quickly speak to them? I just need three testimonies. Three testimonies. Three. I want Pastor Danladi to release the word. Just a declaration. And then our Father, the patriarch himself, Bishop Makanto, will release the word of blessing. And then we'll release you to go home. Just give me three testimonies. We'll take the rest in the course of the service. Something happened tangible. Tangible that we need to hear. Quickly, quickly.
That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, you mean here. That's who you are.
Help that sister at the back.
That's who you are. Oh, you mean here. That's who you are.
What happened? I can't hear you.
Hallelujah. He came in with a
Can we give him volume?
Praise God. This brother came in with a growth on his left eye.
He came with a growth in his left eye. You had a growth in your eyes.
Yes, sir.
And it was visible.
Yes, sir.
What happened now?
Because when I came in, I could not even see the light for see the screen for I kept 20 minutes.
It impaired your vision.
Yes, sir. But once you made mention of the case and he started once you pray, I noticed I my eyes could not like more than hours without blinking.
You could not see.
Yes, sir.
What happened to the growth?
The growth just stopped paining me instantly. You can see it there. You can see it. Just come close, you see my eyes. The eyes are very red.
You can now see clearly. Somebody give the Lord a big hand.
Sir, you pick this man's case by word of knowledge.
Yes, what happened?
You spoke about someone that came here with a swollen eyes.
You had a swollen eye.
And it's affecting his vision. He's the one.
You are the one.
He
your eyes were swollen.
With inflamed eyes. And after your prayer, he said something fell off his eye like a scale.
Something fell off your eyes. What happened to you now?
I'm okay.
You are okay. You can see clearly. The pains are gone. Somebody give the Lord a big hand.
This sister came here with heaviness in one of her breasts. And after the prayer, she said something fell off her breast.
Something fell off. Everything hanging on you, causing frustration, they will fall off tonight in the name of Jesus.
This sister said she came with a dislocated hand. In fact, the hand was moving involuntarily.
Your hand was dislocated and you had pain there. What happened now?
No, it has stopped. I can even, if I push it like this, the bone will move and it was very painful. But now it has, you can't touch it. It's no longer.
The dislocation is corrected.
Yes,
is the pain gone?
Yes, sir.
Somebody give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. What you do is,
this was a word of knowledge. He said somebody had numbness on the left.
Numbness on one side of the body, yes.
He said that's been happening to him since January this year.
Since January?
Yes. Towards the left, the whole left side, particularly the left.
What happened now?
He's perfectly whole, he's healed.
Somebody give the Lord a big hand. My burden tonight is not to pray for the sick. I know we call it a miracle service. My burden is to raise seekers, people that we pursue the presence, pursue truth, and pursue light until you are colonized. That's my burden. And tonight, something will fall on you. You will walk out of this service as a changed man. Even the hunger to stay with God will be imparted. It will be installed into you. And you will discover you will be there for hours. You will lose consciousness of time. Because you will move from time into wisdom. And you will start journeying from place to place, from dimensions to dimensions. Let's receive Pastor Hassan to speak a word over you. Thank you so much. Your testimonies are permanent in the name of Jesus. What you do for me is you go to the back, you write it down, and we'll take them within the week. God bless you. You want us to take your testimony? I can see their faces. Some of them want them. Jump up to your feet like a hungry man who wants to receive from God.
Hallelujah. I just want the greatest blessing that the Spirit can give to you is the gift of hunger. Inside hunger are all the energies of the Spirit. So blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after God. They shall be filled. I want to ask the Spirit. See, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is from God, wherewith we cry, Abba, Father. It's only the Holy Ghost that can burst that cry. And it's only Him that can sustain that cry. It takes powers of God to sustain hunger, to sustain seeking the Spirit that you don't see. Because for a long time you won't appear. But, amen, like Songs of Solomon. Draw me, we will run after you. Draw is the power that will pull you from your dimension into the dimensions of God. I want us to lift up our hand. May her sitting. A chafen tabana kasti. A pena attire. That which you have put upon me. Hungers in the spirit. Pullings in the spirit. Cries in the spirit. Amena kaseven ode hetemona yana. Akanemeliesi. I call my consecrations. I call my consecrations. I call the hungers of my life and the angels that bring a hunger for me. Let them visit you tonight. Let them visit you tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Let your altars be visited with fire. Fires of hunger. Oh my God, I saw what I had to do in Yagaya. I open hunger over you. I open desires. I, Shayla, command. Hunger can be imparted. Yeah. I want to impart stamina to stay in the secret place. That thing that pulls you out of the secret place is a satanic power. That is another power of God that will lock you in. It will lock you in. I command it to come upon you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Shaven. And I see an angel with bows of fire. And the angel with bows of fire will be touching you now. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. I give you glory. I give you honor. In Jesus. I want you to do your fellowship with me. I need a government of hunger. Hunger is a government in the spirit. It's a government. Benakiah 7-8. Eketebeniah. My father. Spirit of the Lord.
Bring forth from the heavens. And the earth.
Some of you will just wake up.
Will he?
You, and then you go for hours. Hours.
He's calling.
Amen. Amen. Some of you, it's the weakness of your body. You fall asleep. It's motions of sin in the body. Amen. The Lord is dealing with it. You will go for days. Days. Weeks. That sleep will leave you. It's called a spirit of slumber. I command it to be judged now. I command that spirit to be judged. In the name of Jesus. Go and leave God's people. Thank you. It's coming upon you now.
My altar is calling.
Let cold altars, altars that are stopped functioning. I command them to come into functionality. Angels of those altars that have gone to sleep because there is no fire there. I command activation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my God. I give you glory.
My altar. He's calling you, oh God. My secret place is calling you, oh God. My prayer life is calling you, oh God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I deliberately did not teach about hunger. I just mentioned what God wants because I knew He will come to impart it. So I thought and stopped at that point where you receive. Pastor Hassan, we be here regularly. You know, from the time we met, my prayer for him was for God to release him from the secret place. He has been there for years. And I told him, you have to go out. He said, God has not released me. And I kept pressing. There was a time I gathered all his messages. I said, I will flood them everywhere. And I was restrained. Until last year when I went to preach for him, I started sensing it was time. And we started speaking, and I said I will bring him. Because one of the things God will use us to do is to push him into the body of Christ. Because this is an elder. This is a gatekeeper. The hour for fresh fountains to come into the body has gone. The gates have opened. And very soon, this sound will come into the body. And it will bring men to layers of intimacy that has never been taught and has never been preached. Can we receive our Father to speak a word of blessing before we round up? Bishop Peter Makanto.
Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Well, I've seen the works of God in this place. And I give God a praise. I give God a praise. And all that we have seen here is it's just like you know, you talk, when you talk, there is another voice in you. Another voice in you. May God bless that voice. May God bless that voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because your word in our hearts has brought light. This word that has brought light, in the name of Jesus, nobody will stumble. Nobody will stumble. Nobody will be led astray. Nobody will be deceived. Oh God, that it shall come to pass that every word that we have received, that it shall illuminate. In the name of Jesus, we thank you because of what we have done, what we have had today. We thank you because of the renewal that you have given to us in our spirits. In the name of Jesus, this renewal will remain permanent. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm tempted to follow you, but we are out of time. Praise God. We apologize for closing late tonight. Please, when you leave this service, be sensitive. You may not be one of those falling. Your reaction and response is different. But those who are falling, they will keep falling. They will be drunk for days. You know, one of the things maturity teaches you is to know what to do part time. Not just to do everything that is in your spirit. But as you go, God will go with you. And the God that is in you will begin to manifest. In the name of Jesus. This is Encounter Jesus Ministries International. We are saddled with a burden to raise sons, to raise priests, and to raise kings. To this effect, we expose people to the truth of God's word every Tuesday, 5 to 8 p.m. And we also expose men to prayer every Mondays, 5 to 8 p.m. We are here digging in the place of prayer. We have many testimonies, and God has been faithful. And on Sundays like this, we come to encounter God. And so we call it the Encounter Jesus Service. We invite you to make it a weekly appointment with us. You will notice that your life will shift drastically like you have never imagined. Because you will not only receive what God offers, you will become God's blessings to your generation. It's my prayer that everything God has released tonight, you will embody it and you will manifest it in Jesus' name. Before we close, very quickly, on the 9th and 10th of June, one of our own
will be getting married in the city of Kaduna. Chris Band. He's one of the functionaries that is responsible for scoring the messages on the TV station. So all of you that watch the TV station, this is the man laboring behind the scenes. He's getting married. Wherever you are, release prayers and ask that God will give him a blessed home in Jesus' name. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, we beg you to sit here by my right here. Just 5 minutes, we will address you and would ensure that whatever God has released, you take it home. That's where those who are not yet born again, we also lead them to Christ, and then we baptize them in the Holy Ghost if that is the case. And then we also tell you what you need to know about us. So we encourage you, another 5 minutes, we'll meet with you just by the right side of this hall, even as we pray God continues to bless you. Please be upstanding as we bring the service to a close. We started a 1 month fast on the 1st of June. We started, yes, that's a good place to clap. We announced it in the prayer meeting on Monday. And so I want to encourage all of you who are committed followers of what we do and believe in what we do, who are part of this family, whether you're on ground in Abuja or within Nigeria or outside the country. From now to the end of June, we are fasting every day. If you are busy, you can break sometime around 3 p.m. If you have received the impartation of hunger, the government of hunger, you can stay on the altar till 6 p.m. God bless you. So continue to press. God has promised that He will visit us mightily in this month. And one of the ways of routing it is through the gateway of fasting. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you. The Lord give you peace. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. In the name of the Lord Jesus. My God. There's somebody here. Your loved one is currently hospitalized. As I'm talking now, it's like a hopeless situation. You're the one? Don't worry, you don't need to come. Before this week is over, that case will be turned around for good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody hearing me is permitted to receive a bad news. There will be no death in your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the time of your enlargement. This is the day of your increase. And the glory of the Lord will tabernacle upon you, even as you shine forth to your generation. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. See you again on Tuesday for the word. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Please, if you have not been baptized by immersion, you quickly see Pastor Wisdom. That's him. Brother Wisdom, can you wave? Yes, yeah, that's him by my left. Quickly, you see him and then we'll arrange for that. Okay, if you are not being baptized by immersion. Hallelujah.
By this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.com or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.